This episode, a look at how medieval Europe invested chess with its own social, cultural, and spiritual meanings. Hello everyone, and welcome to Audible Chess, where I tell the story of chess through history, fiction, and the games of the masters. This episode, I want to give a shout out to Robert. Thank you so much, Robert, for your support. If you haven't already received the show notes and training resources for this episode, head to the Substack website and subscribe to the Audible Chess newsletter. There's a link to it in the podcast show notes. Special announcement today, if you're a fan of the podcast and you'd like to play a role in the show's creation, get in touch with me. Maybe you'd like to help with research or recording or editing, depending on your skills and expertise. Whatever it may be, get in touch with me if you'd like to join the Audible Chess team. I hope you enjoy the show. I'm always fascinated when I see how chess has been interpreted and reinterpreted over the ages, and how the game functioned as a mirror for different societies to see themselves. A really interesting era of chess development was the medieval European world. I'm going to be quoting a lot of passages in this episode, and to begin, here's a passage from David Shank's The Immortal Game.
The cased implications of chess quickly captured the popular imagination, with the array of pieces seen as a microcosm, not just of a fighting army, but also more generally of human society, with its all-important monarch, its privileged nobility, and its expendable peasants.
This episode, I wanted to highlight one instance of the so-called cased implications of chess. I'm going to be reading what I think are the most interesting passages from a medieval manuscript on chess that H.J.R. Murray includes in his monumental history of chess. Its author is unknown. Pay attention to the way that movements over the board are invested with moral meaning, how straight movements are seen as virtuous and diagonal ones as corrupt, and how ultimately the battle over the chessboard is seen as a metaphor for the battle for one's soul. Here's an opening passage from the manuscript.
The world resembles a chessboard, which is checkered white and black, the colors showing the two conditions of life and death, or praise and blame. The chessmen are men of this world who have a common birth, occupy different stations, and hold different titles in this life, who contend together, and finally have a common fate which levels all ranks.
The manuscript goes on to interpret each piece. First, the king.
The king's move and powers of capture are in all directions, because the king's will is law.
And now the rook, who is seen as the equivalent of a wandering judge.
The rook stands for the itinerant justice who travels over the whole realm, and their move is always straight, because the judge must deal justly.
The knight is seen as a kind of tax collector.
The knight's move is compounded of a straight move and an oblique one. The former betokens his legal power of collecting rents, the latter his extortions and wrongdoings.
The passage on the bishops is perhaps the most critical.
The bishops are prelates wearing horns. They move and take obliquely, because nearly every bishop misuses his office through greed.
And finally, the pawns.
The pawns are poor men. Their move is straight, except when they take anything. So also the poor man does well, so long as he keeps from ambition.
I'm going to finish off with a longer passage from a later reprint of the manuscript, which I think really highlights how chess was interpreted as a kind of allegory of social and spiritual conflict in the medieval world.
There are many presumptuous players who lay great stakes and sacrifice many of their men, hoping to mate in the end. And before they are aware, the opponent exclaims, "Checkmate," and they have lost everything. So also there are men who, during life, follow the devil, hoping in the end to cheat him of their souls by the mercy of God. But death surprises them before they expect it, and the devil says, "Checkmate." Wherefore play the game of life warily, for your opponent is full of subtlety, and take abundant thought over your moves, for the stake is your soul.
The game this episode is Smyslov versus Rudakovsky. It was played in 1945 in Moscow. If you haven't already, read through this month's newsletter for the training resources, along with links to the game annotation to study. There's a link to the free newsletter in the show notes. Thanks everyone for listening, and I hope the show helps improve your chess. 1. Pawn to e4. Pawn to c5. Two, knight to f3. Pawn to e6. What color is the g3 square? It's a dark square. Three, pawn to d4. C pawn takes d4. Four, knight takes d4. Knight to f6. The black knight on f6 attacks which two center squares? D5 and E4. Five, knight to C3. Pawn to D6. Six, bishop to e2. Bishop to e7. Which white piece controls the c1, h6 diagonal? The dark squared bishop. Seven, castles kingside. Castles kingside. Eight, bishop to e3. Knight to c6. Which two pieces are defending white's knight on d4? The queen on d1 and the bishop on e3. Nine, pawn to f4. Queen to c7. Ten, queen to e1. Knight takes d4. 4. Which files are white's rooks on? The A file and the F file. Eleven, Bishop takes d4. Pawn to e5. Bishop to e3. Bishop to e6. Which two black pieces are attacking the empty c4 square? The queen on c7 and the bishop on e6. Pawn to f5. Bishop to c4. Bishop takes c4. Queen takes c4. White's pawn on e4 is defending what other white pawn? The pawn on f5. Bishop to g5. Rook on the f-file to e8. Bishop takes f6. Bishop takes f6. Where are White's pawns on the A, B, and C files? They're all on the second rank. Knight to d5. Bishop to d8. Pawn to c3. Pawn to b5. Which square can the black queen on c4 move to in order to check the white king on g1? c5. Pawn to b3. Queen to c5. Check. King to h1. Rook to c8. White's knight on d5 is attacking which two squares on the seventh rank? c7 and e7. Rook Rook to f3. King to h8. Pawn to f6. G pawn takes f6. Which white piece is controlling the e1 h4 diagonal? White's queen on e1. Queen to h4. Rook to g8. Knight takes f6. Rook to g7. Name the two white pieces that are defending the knight on f6. The rook on f3 and the queen on h4. Rook to g3. Bishop takes f6. Queen takes f6. Rook to g8. White's queen is pinning which piece to the black king? The rook on g7. Rook to d1. Pawn to d5. Rook takes g7. Rook takes g7. Rook takes d5. Black resigns.